Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series.
Well, greetings and welcome tonight on this August 15th, 2023. Yet another day that we've been blessed to be here on this side, and we're grateful. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. You're listening to Talk Straight, and we do have a topic for this evening. I want to encourage you to join us, and if you follow us on Facebook Live or on the Blog Talk Radio platform. Either way, give us a holler. Give us a holler here tonight on this August 15th. What's the number to call? Well, that number is 563-999-3617. Again, that number is 563-999-3617. I'd love to hear from you. You don't necessarily have to give your name unless you so choose. Feel free to chime in here on our topic, and we'd love to hear from you. We'll be here for about an hour tonight. Okay? All right. Tuesday night, August 15th, 2023. What are we talking about tonight? Brother Dockery? Our topic this evening is the struggle within us. The struggle within us. And actually, us is you dot S dot. So we could say us personally, or we can say the United States of America. What do you say, Brother Murph? All right. Good to see you, man. Feel free to jump on in here. Give us a holler. That number again is 563-999-3617. All right? It seems that lately, every day, all around the nation, people are posturing themselves to be at battle with something or somebody, all right, against something or against someone. The easiest excuse, though, that is used to justify going to war, to be in conflict, is by saying there's something different about you, something ain't right. You're not right. I'm okay, but you're not right. You know, more and more now people are looking at hotbed social issues that are in the newsreel, or sadly enough, people are still looking at skin color, right? They're looking at philosophical disagreements, political disagreements. Somehow, both of these latter examples, though, seem to justify in your neighbor an object of your aggression, the struggle within us. I would argue with you that the young people in particular are a bit confused. I can remember back in 2008 when President Obama was elected, it was young people 18 years old who said, yes, we can. And they joined a number of folks to come together and put a new president that was supposed to represent the change in America. I don't know. It seems like we lost all that, more friction and tension now than ever. Prior to that, I'm old enough to know that since the 60s and what have you, that some of that quelled itself down. It wasn't as loud, at least, particularly in the South. I've been in the South now for about 36 years, and I personally witnessed how a lot of that grew up in the North, in Chicago, but I noticed how a lot of that kind of settled down, and it sparked back up in 2000, after 2007 and beyond. And, of course, President Trump, in his own way, poked the bear in the eye and came us against them. You understand? But I would argue there's a struggle in us, in the U.S. I want to talk about that tonight. That's going to be our topic for this evening. I'd love for you to give me a call, 563-999-3617. That is the way to get into the studio. Call it. I want to hear your thoughts. I'm going to get through our monologue here, and then we're going to open up the phone lines to hear from you. Because, again, I find that they're good people in general. Do everybody agree with each other all the time? No. But for the most part, people, you know what you like, what you're concerned about. And sometimes we don't necessarily have to be together with one another. We don't have to hate one another, though. You mind your business, I mind mine. My mom used to say you spend 6 months tending to your own business and another 6 months leaving other folk alone. By that time, the whole year's up. You understand? But, you know, but you can also choose as adults, as rational, reasonable people, that, hey, we're going to share something together. We're going to share social interaction. We're going to have dialogue. That's part of what we're trying to do here with Talk Straight. All right? So let's look at it. I'm gonna refer to the Word of God, to the Scripture, as a basis for what I'm laying here, and I want to hear from you. I understand you may not necessarily agree with it, but I learn when you share me a different view, or if you share a common view, I can learn. All right, 1 Timothy 6 chapter verses 11 and 12 is where I want to focus attention. 1 Timothy 6 chapter verses 11 and 12. Verse 11 says this, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to put a pin at a piece of verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Wait. So maybe there is something that's worth struggling over. I tend to concur with the Apostle Paul here as he writes in Timothy, fighting a good fight of faith, things that you can see and believe in. Now, on February, King preached a sermon that was entitled The Drum Major Instinct. The Drum Major Instinct. Y'all know he was assassinated on April 4th, right? Yeah? A couple of months later. But he preached this message at the heat and then at the heart of the battle, where he, in many ways, said to Noam that his time was short. It his inner circle mentioned that, made mention of that, he realized that it could be all the threats and things of that nature. But look what he said about the drum major instinct. I think he pointed out some of the key that perhaps is common to all of us in some way or another. He, at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, expositated that the drum major instinct is this concept or this idea or desire to be out front, to be recognized, to be seen, be cherished, right? Ain't nothing wrong with that. In a parade, the drum major is the first person out there, and they usually step high, and they lead the parade, okay? So the band and the rest of the band yields way to the drum major core to put it in order, to send the direction. Now, you can say that they desire attention, and this is why they do what they do, right? That's true. A lot of that. But it's understood that the drum major has a particular task, and that task is to make sure everybody is in sync and that they're in order and that the band marches on together. And, you know, at the end of the day, without the drum major, it's possible that everything else will fall apart. You know? Bear with me here. I'm sending a number out to someone who's trying to get in with us here. Alrighty. Okay. All right. I think we got him now. And this drum major plays a key role. Well, all of us have an opportunity to be a leader, to do something productive and make a contribution to society. And guess what? If you don't do anything but take care of yourself, you've demonstrated leadership. And the interesting thing is, when you're able to be who you are and lead yourself and be in agreement with others, that's really the measure of your true wealth, your true ability, your significance is when you can get along with other people. You've heard the text, love thy neighbor as thyself. You ever heard that before? Yeah. So I mean, we have a lot to really look at, beloved. And if we're honest, the truth of the matter is a lot of the conflict, a lot of the friction stems from within people who feel inept, like they are not important. So what do? They go out and they raise Cain or raise issues with other people to bring attention and light on themselves. You understand? But you don't have to fight over service to humanity. You don't have to fight over the effort to show other people that they're important to. Put yourself down a little bit. Stand down for you and stand up for somebody else. Ain't no fight over that. Ain't no fight over that, right? But I would argue that many people are more concerned about getting glory and fame than anything else. And that's what this drum major instinct was. James and John asked Jesus, said, look, man, you know, my mom and my daddy, they hook you up, y'all friends. Sometimes you sit down and eat with us and what have you. Hook us up, man. Let my brother sit on the right hand. And let me sit on the right hand. Let my brother sit on the left. And Jesus said so simply, if you want to be great, then you got to serve. But that's the perhaps most challenging thing to do, is to be a servant, and particularly a public servant. All right? What happens? Struggle, this battle with other people. Oftentimes, individuals find themselves laying blame at someone else's doorstep, right? And it teeters into casting some sort of judgment about them because there's a difference, a notable difference. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself accusing them of something. When you go and talk to other people about what you think about them, that's called gossiping. And when you just can't be satisfied with nothing, that's called complaining, beloved. The struggle in us, in the United States. There are a lot of good people who subconsciously don't know that they're struggling and they're keeping a struggle that is really superficial in nature. See? Identifying with certain positions or needing to be, again, right, therefore creating opposition. It's okay to stand down even in a disagreement with your loved ones, with a family member, even the husband and wife. I have found in my experiences that if you just be quiet and listen, you just might realize, I missed something there. Okay? Yeah, I thought I was correct, and it may not necessarily be that you're wrong, as it is that now you have a better way of approaching it to allow the other person to see a different perspective, perhaps your perspective, right? But what it requires is that you have to be open and willing not to want to be the one out front all the time. Help somebody else up. See? Because when trouble hits, trouble ride, you're the quick to run. Out of what? Concern about your own self-preservation, with little concern about the preservation of others. We're talking from this topic, the struggle within the United States or within us as a people. We did a show some years ago entitled The Enemy, Overcoming the Enemy. Who is the enemy? Say it with me real slow. Inner me. You can conquer you position to maintain yourself in the universe. You see what I'm saying, beloved? All right. Again, what's that number to call? What's that number to call, doctor, if I want to call you? Yeah, please do. All right. We got a good man here on with us. Straight out of Cashville. This is our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wall. How you doing, my friend?
Hey, man. All right, Pastor Docker. How you
doing?
Well,
you've been all my life. You've been out there working, ain't you? You've been out there striving in the field.
That's right. Just around the corner, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How's it going? How's the family?
Hey, man. Everybody's all right. How about on your end?
We're doing okay. We're holding in the road. There may be some wedding bells and with the other Reuben real soon, but that's good news.
Okay.
To my listeners, all right. My son has found him a young lady and he asked her to marry him and she said, yay. So we're looking forward to
that. Listen to that, man. That's awesome, man.
That's your guy right there.
That is magnificent. That is, brother. He's moving right along, man. He's a gentleman.
Yes, sir.
Every sense of the word, brother.
And I appreciate the bit that you poured in him and his interaction with you. If we were to dip back a little bit, I would tell the listening audience again, maybe those who heard for the first time, that my son and I both had a chance to read the first book. Actually, I don't know if I know he has a copy of the first book. Pastor Wallace is a two-time author. And he's written some very powerful books and instructional tools. Still High was the first one. And what year was that, Pastor, that you published that one, Still High?
The first book is in 2013.
Yeah. 2013, yes. And then I think
The
second one came out around 18 or 19 or something like that. Okay.
2020.
Which is the flip side. But I said all that to say that we had a chance to read it together, and we banked off some things. And one thing stuck out with him was in one of the chapters you were talking about how your coach was, how the referee, I'm sorry, the role of the referee
Yes, sir.
I can't.
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind, tell a little bit about the role of the referee in the game.
Yeah, man, I tell you, you know, it's amazing that, you know, you talk about the purpose of the referee. He only have a requirement that he go by. And you know, he called it like he see it, you know.
Right,
and
right.
That's the thing about it. And you cannot dispute it during the time when I was coming up. And they didn't have no what they have today. They called it instant replay.
Mm.
And so the referee had to be on his game. It wasn't like they was just running up and down the court waiting for the instant replay to come about so they can go to the let's stop the game for a minute. Let's go over here and look at the instant replay. Now they weren't doing the instant replay too quick. During my time, it wasn't none of that anyway. But anyway,
okay.
So the art of the referee is to call it like he see it. And
right,
that was
right.
unique to me, you know, whether he made a bad call or not. I'm sure sometimes he did. And that's when you hear the other team and the fans, how rowdy that they can become, booing the referee and things. But there's no replay. So you had to go on what he said. And most of the time, brother, I can say I appreciate the referee for that purpose, is that he was calling it like he was able to see it. And that means he had to be in the game.
Right, battle
yeah,
rule, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's the way it went. That's the way
he went.
Out
there, battle rule?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's exactly how he went, brother.
That's kind of similar to our conversation. The struggle, the topic tonight is struggle, the struggle within the United States or within us. Now more and more on Twitter, not Twitter anymore, X or Facebook or Meta, people are throwing up all kind of arguments and conflict and what have you. In certain cities, young folks get on social media, man, they come out in malls and in large numbers, ready to fight, ready to test them up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
and you ask yourself, how is it all those folk got there? How did they know where they were going to be? Social media gives them the platform to keep up this struggle, this fight, this conflict, man. And nobody's trying to resolve it. You know what I mean? It's like it's just now against y'all. And we got to let y'all know that we don't agree with you, or, I got a problem, I got an issue with you. Okay, what's the problem, man? What's wrong? What's wrong?
Yeah. Sad case, brother.
Yeah. Is that your observation?
It is, and you know what I'm listening to you, and able to comprehend what you said. They all joined together, and how do they find out? And you said social media can give you a platform and get you there quicker than you could just by he say, she said.
Mm-hmm.
You can get on social media, and you can you can intercede with the he say, she say mentality, and before you know it, you're there. And when you get there, you have one thing on your mind.
Wow.
And that's how tough it is. That's why it's always good to have a referee that's in the game that knows.
Right.
You know, they know the part of the game. And he would explain the rules. He always explained the rules, is what I like. What I liked about the referee, you had a captain, and my partner was the captain, and I was the co-captain. And so we would all go, and the other team had their captain and co-captain, and we would all join in and listen to the referee, how he was explaining what his role was. And so when he expect for you to go back and tell your teammates, when you get on that court now, and the ref says, do this, and if you say this, this is what it's going to be now. Don't mess around, get no tick, you know. So it was our job to go back to the team and to let them know this. And you know, and I appreciate that from the referee. Believe me, it's good to have a referee who really explains it well. There's some things he wasn't supposed to explain. The coach is supposed to explain certain things. He just gave him his take on what he expects. And that's why it's also good to have a good coach with a genuine, sincere way of doing things. So it's
someone that, again, is going to make it easy for everybody to operate on one thought, right, and one playing field.
That's it.
Yeah.
That is it. That is the real most important part of it, is just being on one playing field. And when you do that, and then when it's time to throw the ball up, no matter whether you call it an away game or at home, when you throw the ball up, it's equal. It ain't no, you know, we at home and you're away. No, they throw the ball up, and that's it. And then, you know, each team go forward and may the best man win. And when you, my coach taught me, this is what he taught me. And I mean,
okay,
we won a lot of games, but I love what he taught me. If your opponent win the game, go shake their hand.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Yeah, we had to do that. Yeah, we had to do it.
Lose. Okay, okay.
Now, my coach was known for that. My coach, yeah, win or lose. My coach loved what happens after the game. That's what he loved. And that is how to deal with just in case you didn't win.
See, you
go shake other teams.
With your competitor, because you all both are still human and you both still matter. Is that what the coach was trying to say?
Yeah. That's the way he made sure that. He made the other team may not always want to get with that, and that's understandable because we used to win a lot of games and they was always out to beat us, and I understood that. But he made sure that, and I mean, we had some challenges too, and that's another part of what I love about it. And I understand it better now why he would say after the game, you go shake the other team's hand.
Well, now you're saying something about the importance of law and order. All right. I want to read something, and I know you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I know you, but I want to read this, and then let's have a conversation about it. The number is 563-999-3617. Y'all, give me a call. Come on, give me a call. Listen at this, bro. Listen at this.
Mm-hmm.
How much money would you give to live above the law? How many dollars would you sell to dwell
That's right.
above? As long as it's working in your favor, you
it's
love
just long
the
working
law.
In your favor.
Making
you
our lives.
Man, I'm talking about them. living here, man.
When there is no,
because
when there's no law that everybody
law.
Look, Brother Preacher, when there's no law that everybody is governed by, I don't know how, it don't matter how good looking you are, how fat, how skinny, how rich, how poor you are, right? Come talk to me, Brother Preacher.
No.
Then we can be on equal playing field. Is that
That's right. That's the art of a good coach, you know. And, you know, when you have the referee, they mean well, and they say, okay, well, look, I'm going to officiate the game, and I'm not going to tamper with it. I'm going to make sure that I explain to both teams, captains, and then you go back and explain to the players. And once that takes place, you know, and the coach has to take and get with the team and explain to the team about what he's expecting. And that way, you know, it's not going to be no above the law, you know, because it's in your favor. So now that you got us over at where your school is, oh, now you're above us. You're saying we don't have a chance because the referee going to cheat for you? Yeah. You say the referee going to cheat for you, huh?
Oh, man.
That's what you call home field
advantage, man. Come on, man.
You know how it is.
Mm-hmm. By the way, let me say, Pastor Lomax was a little under the weather. I think he's back home now, but he had a little stint over at the VA.
Okay.
I talked with him this week, so
all right.
I pray that he's doing it. I'm sure
that's
he was here with
that's
us.
That's good. I have to check with him, man, and see how you doing.
Absolutely. So, but yeah, I mean, and I really believe that where the conflict, where the struggle comes, Pastor, with whites and blacks and others, is when you presuppose that there's going to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. Just look at you and look at me. You can't walk. The Bible said, "How can two walk together and touch and agree, except they what? They touch and agree. Now, when you come,
agreed upon.
That's right. And when you or me or anybody else come with the preconceived notion that there's going to be a problem when I see you, there's going to be a disagreement, it's hard for you to find yourself looking for agreement, isn't it?
All right, and that's what we're going to be. That's going to be a major problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's been going on for a while. It's a major, major problem there, without a doubt. Major, major problem.
I would say this though, Brother Preacher, that the worst thing that can be done is for somebody my age or your age to you can't hear me. I'm told they can't hear me, so let me see if we can. Can you hear me okay, Pastor?
Yeah, I can.
Okay.
I can hear you good.
All right. I'm not sure why the others are not hearing me on the air here. I thought we had our sound together, but Facebook is telling me that they're having a hard time hearing me. Okay. Let's see if we can do this a little bit different there. But what was I saying there, Preacher? Go ahead.
I was getting ready to say, you know, before you went to the break there, and, you know, we were talking about the things above the law was going there, and you know, and talking about, you know, being able to have home advantage, you know, things like that, because a person who's visiting doesn't have a chance. It's not no equal anymore. So where do you find equal? How is it that you can say we all are equal? That means that we. You know, we're going to not be violent because you won and I lost, you know, and vice versa.
Okay.
So how can you get that
right
back in the swing where you can still reason with one another and say, well, you know, that's just the way it goes?
Yeah, that's
you
know,
when can you get back to that? How can you get back to that point?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like a lost cause today.
It is. The media has played a big role or continues to play a huge role in causing the divisive and the division, you understand, that people see among
right
one another. And unnecessarily.
Yeah.
You know. And which tells me that we collectively have to say to ourselves, we're not going to let them play that game on us. You know, send us off like that. Yeah, it is. It really is. It really is a difficult thing there. But you know, talking about earlier in my monologue, how in 2008, when President Obama won the presidency, young people that were 18 years old voting for the first time were lit up, man, with the notion that, hey, we can. That was the slogan. Yes, we can. And I think they aspired to see things change. Obama won with a lot of white votes. He didn't just win with black votes. A lot of white votes that had previously voted Republican, if have you. And he was a Democrat. So there was a semblance of hope there. But unfortunately, here we are in 2023, man, and somehow we've lost that. And, you know, even in the religious world, in the church world, there's still this notion that we can't just fellowship and be one because we got to maintain a different identity. That's your church. I got my church. I thought it was the house of God.
Yeah, that's almost out the door. That's almost out the door right there. You understand? And
yeah.
I would say, You know, it's a tough situation when it comes down to that.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Mm-hmm. Tough situation. It really is.
Yeah.
How do you get back there?
Well, it's going to take good and honest individuals to get back there. That's how we do that. That's how we do that. And one of the things we have to do is we have to recognize that we've moved away from a point of unity. We have to recognize that, you know. We have to understand that I talked about King's drum concept of the drum major instinct. It's okay to want to be a leader, but you lead yourself first into righteousness and let your light so shine. Yeah. Have I got a witness? That's how
important.
That's how you lead some. That's how
important.
You lead. Yeah.
That's highly important there.
One of the things, absolutely. One of the things I emphasize in the monologue as well, and that is the text in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and 11th, where the admonished to fight a good fight of faith. Now, what is it we believe? The question is, what is it that we believe in, Pastor? What do we believe in?
Mm-hmm.
And why? Because often they believe that. Huh?
You said, what is it that we believe in?
Yeah, and what drives that?
How is it so hard to believe in something that's genuine? You know, if it's not genuine, a lot of people I've discovered believe in what's not genuine quicker than what's genuine. And then what is genuine? What does it seem, you know, to cause people, what is it that seems to cause people not to believe when it's genuine? Don't make no difference what side is on. Who is genuine and who is not, can you really tell? And
that's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah. That's a great question. We got a caller. 4953, that number sounds familiar. I think that's out of the St. Louis area, Pastor Waller. Let me check to see. Welcome, caller, to Talk Straight, Your Own Lies. How are you?
Hey, Ruben. How you doing?
I'm mighty fine, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. So when blacks voted for Obama in 2008, what was it they was expecting?
At the time, you know, and I never will forget it, all of my parents, you know, that were alive were excited that they were looking for a change. They thought that America truly reached its pinnacle because now a dark black man became the president of the United States. And they cried at that. They cried at that. And young people, I believe, and there were whites that helped Obama get in. They believed that there was an opportunity for us to really set the record straight and that America to be honest to its dreams and its ideas. That's what it seemed like. What do you think?
Yeah, but I still don't understand. What was it they were expecting? The office, that particular office, is governed by rules. So it doesn't make no difference who's sitting in it. They still have rules that they are expected to carry out. But what is it that these people were expecting to see? What are they talking about? I mean, I need an example.
I don't know that I have all the answers, but just from my observation, the people that were around me, you know, the impression I got is that they really believed just because he was black that he was going to be able to turn the things around in the White House. He's going to do different than other presidents.
I hear that, but I don't understand what they're talking about. Maybe your other friend there can tell me.
You know, he don't really keep up with it, but I'll let him speak for himself, Pastor Waller. That's St. Louis.
Pastor Wallace, what were they expecting?
Are you talking to me to ask me who was expecting?
What
I was expecting?
He made mention that blacks was happy when Obama got elected because they thought there was going to be a change. So I'm asking, what was the change going to be and what would it look like?
Well, I got to ask you this before I can even go any further. When you say what were they expecting, and then he told you what the possibility they was expecting, and you didn't understand that?
No, I don't, because I need an example. He said a change.
Well,
change can be anything. The weather, the wind, the sun,
mm-hmm.
the price
that's
of
right.
milk.
That's what I'm saying. That's the reason why I said that. Did you not understand when he said change, it can be in many areas. That's what you just said. So
yeah,
whatever the change
I
is.
I understand.
Did you not get anything out of that when he said change?
No, I did not, because I need an example. I would like to see specifically, in so many words and examples, what were they expecting?
Okay,
well,
but what did you say was going to take place? Hold on for a second, Pastor Doctor. What did you say was going to take place? When you said
who said was going to take place?
When you said that it's designed for whoever's in the seat, no matter who it is. Did you say that? That they got rules. That they got
that's written in the Constitution what their job is. It's written in the Constitution what their job is, and anybody can read it.
Okay, but I'm saying that that's what you said. So you're saying that.
No, that's what
that means
that's what's written in the Constitution. I said it don't make no difference what the president looked like, race, color, sex. They are bound by certain dictums in the U.S. Constitution.
That's what you said, and that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm going on what you said. So if that's the case, then no matter who's sitting there, they got to go according to what they are being rendered to do. If that sums it up, then that's the only thing was expected. Nothing less. Maybe
yeah, but what I don't understand, he said that blacks was expecting a change.
They had a right.
And
to.
I was,
they
matter of
right
fact,
to.
They even played Sam Cooke's record. I'm trying to figure out what change was they expecting to see.
Let me jump in and say this. Let me clarify myself. I'll say many, and certainly those that I saw were close, including in my family. Many blacks, I won't say everybody, but many blacks respect that America was going to become a better place for all races, creed, and color people. Because
remember, Pastor, excuse me, Pastor, not cutting you off, Pastor, but excuse me for a second. Remember,
right,
you said black, and then remember also some of the Republicans was white. They even changed and went to him. You remember that?
So he did
make some change take place because some of them even left there and went to him. So that's change right there.
Well, what I'm trying to figure out is what black people, like he initially said, when Obama got elected, oh man, it's going to be a change now. What change are you looking for specifically?
Some white people from the Republicans came over there. That's change.
That ain't no change. They do that all the time,
that is
back
not
and
change.
Forth.
That's
no,
not change.
It's not change that they
but,
was. I
hey,
never heard any black
look,
say that that's what they were looking for. Republicans to do this
no,
and the other. They got the power to do that.
Change.
But what change was Obama supposed to produce that
say, well,
they was going to consider
say, well, some
the
milk.
Life was going to be better?
Say,
okay.
Then you say whether it was milk, whether it was this, that, and the other. You didn't say that, right? So whether it was white people coming from the Republicans coming over there, isn't that change? No matter what happened.
Coming over
that, they left the Republicans and said, we're going to go and see what he's about now because of him being whoever he called himself to be, whether he's black, whatever color he is. They left and came over
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but those
that's
were the
change.
Elected officials. I'm talking about the constituency
okay.
that voted for Obama. Ruben said that they thought that America was going to live out this, that, and the other. It's going to be a different. I just want to know what they're supposed to be. I can't understand it.
Let me again say that I don't pretend to say that I understand all of the African-American population, but I want to clarify for certainly those that were around me. I was a host on a show here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we had numerous callers come in that identified themselves as African-American black. and they were happy, and they expressed,
mm-hmm.
my family members,
yeah.
expressed
yeah.
jubilation, happiness that Barack Obama became the first, quote, black president, end quote. Now, I clapped flat
yeah.
because I said that I wasn't sure that he would win, but he did, and I said he's going to have a hard time breaking from what all the other presidents before him did, the 42 before him. And that seemed to have come to fruition. That's my observation.
Well,
that's just my position.
This is what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying
okay.
to figure out what changed, C-H-A-N-G-E, substantive change, that was blacks that made mention of this. What were they looking for? What kind of change?
I'm not sure.
Change white folks' mind. He changed the white folks' mind that was with the Republicans. That's what he did.
Well, you know, you got 20% of black males that's marrying. They're marrying interracially. Is that what the change
right.
you want
they,
to see
they,
more
they,
black?
They was doing that before. They just started marrying them. I'm talking about that man changed. What goes for him?
But
what caused him to think so
much
about
white
him?
White folks' mind how?
Did they come from the Republicans to go over there to be the Democrats, man, or did they not?
People can do that all they want to.
No, I'm not.
They
I'm
need
asking
Barack
you.
Obama
did
to
do
that. They were doing that before.
But
what
physical? Just said
that
took place. But this
what
Doctor
tangible
just said
change?
Place. That's changed.
Was they seeking?
So St. Louis, it really is
yes,
a
sir.
New point now. It really is a new point now because done 8 years and he's gone now and he will never be able to serve in that seat again. So. Whatever he didn't get accomplished, he won't ever get to have it accomplished again, as president, at least anyway. Now, I've told people that personally what I would love to see in 2023, I would love to see him take his influence to cities like Chicago, to St. Louis, to Detroit, and where there's a whole lot of crime and a lot of despair. I'd love to see him go there and spend time there. I mean, meaningful time. That's what I would love to see in 2020. But he ain't going to never
awesome.
Be president.
What is Barack Obama? Is this, okay, you want him to go to, say, Chicago. What are you going to do in Chicago? Where are you going
right,
to tell
so,
who what?
All right. I want you to slow down and listen for a second. I think, this is just my position, I think that given his former presidency and given the fact that Chicago in particular map, that he has a significant voice to the young men that are shooting, killing one another, that are the crime that is rampant. And it may be useful in other places that have similar issues. I think just walking through Inglewood and West Lundale would catch the attention of a lot of folk to say, hey, y'all stop that.
Yeah.
Y'all stop
that. That would be awesome, wouldn't it?
I think that'll
well,
go a long
why
way.
Would people... Why would people that have some motive, which could be centered around a million things, have anything to take from a Barack Obama or anybody else?
Well, again, because he's the, quote, first black president, end quote. That's
well, that don't mean anything.
It may not mean anything
what does that
to you.
Mean?
But, hey, St. Louis, it may not mean anything to you, but trust me, there are a great many people that is significant for.
Well, why from the
hey,
parents
Pastor
don't
Doctor, you saying they will listen to him. That's what you're saying, Pastor Doctor. You say they will listen to him.
I think they will.
Talking about.
I believe
yeah,
they
yeah,
will.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
And
then, see, because of that, and I like how you put it, because he's not in the presidential seat now and never will be there again. So, therefore, he can do things that he couldn't do while he was in the seat.
There you
then.
Go. Hey,
I think
get
that's
away
what
with it.
I got you.
What can he do now that he couldn't do then?
Well,
you just
again,
said he couldn't do that because he was up under order. Then you
well,
just
hold on.
You said, what could he do?
Let me respond to him. And I'm not just speaking to you, St. Louis. I'm speaking to listening audience because you asked a question. What can he do now? And consider what I'm saying. I'm not asking you to accept it just because I said, but consider that his influence is significant enough still in 2023 that he can capture the attention, the hearts and minds of wayward young people who have proven themselves to be self-destructive toward one another in these major urban areas. I think that he could do that. Now, I don't know if that happened.
You know, theoretically, Barack Obama cannot speak to young people unless he speaks through their parents. He does not have, as a citizen, have that right, nor do you. You can't walk up to a child on the street and start thinking, speaking to them. Their First Amendment rights come through their parents. So I don't see Obama being able to do anything.
Oh, no. I understand. I take your position. I hear you loud and clear. But what I'm saying is it's not about him taking parental authority as it is having social influence. I'm sure you're familiar with that. Just like movie stars and rappers and folk like that have influence, he still have some national influence. You may not agree with it. You may not think it's that important, but there are a great many people, my friend, who value that in 2023. You know? And I think there's an opportunity to help address some of the challenges that this new mayor in Chicago have relative to stopping some of that destruction and carrying on around there. But anyway, that don't make it right because I think it or I said it. But there you go. There you go.
Well, I was just curious. I hear people say, well, we got a black president, so things are going to change like what? And nobody can answer that question. You know why?
Know if we're gonna ever
because there ain't no answer to it. He ain't going to change nothing.
All right. Well, guess what? Not as president. He'll never have that. And I'm not sure in my lifetime if there'll be another. I could be wrong. I'm not sure in my lifetime if there'll be another quote-unquote black president.
You can line them up from here to you can line them up from here to Jericho. They're not going to change anything.
Okay. So what we were talking about.
And if they are going to change something, that means that somebody is looking for something. Nobody can tell me what they're looking for. And what they're probably looking for, he can't do it anyway. It's just like
that whole thing
about reforming police. That was a campaign issue, too. The president cannot reform a police department. He can't do it.
Yeah. That's true. What you saw demonstrated is lower legislative bodies trying to do that by through their policies, and certain mayors and governors trying to do that through their policies. And we're seeing that was a terrible experiment because predominantly African American voting precincts, that thing backfired big time, you know. So, but yeah, it's a tough situation, man. And let me just, we got about a few more minutes here. We were speaking from the topic, the struggle within the U.S. And I would argue, and I said earlier, that there were things about both President Obama and President Trump that on one end of the spectrum or another stirred an emotion and took people away from the relative harmony that the country experienced, in my view, prior to Obama's administration, after President Trump. And we see that in 2023. Look like it's, and I won't say everybody, but a great many of people are looking for a fight now. It's got to be some us against them, some kind of way. And I don't know that that's helpful to the United States as a nation.
It may not be helpful, but that's what it's going to evolve to. It's going to be evolved to them against us. Because the things that other side wanted, I mean, something simple, that same-sex marriage, which is all right, but having clowns come in and read to your kids, wanting your children to be able to have gender reassignment without parents notification, we ain't going to, that group that's against that is not going to compromise on it. So what's going to happen is they're going to draw lines and say, you stay over there and we stay over here. And I don't blame
you. Well, you know, there's a case I understand that a judge is going to rule on it soon in New Jersey, where the governor was trying to supersede the wishes and the desires of these school boards that are respective of the parents. And the parents articulated that, listen, we did not sign up to co-op with the government to raise our children. Those are our children. The governor or nobody else. We want to determine what's best for them. So, yeah.
What is the governor wanting to do?
Well, what I understand it was is the governor wanted to mandate that children could choose to change their identity, their sexual identity, and not tell their parents, and the school uphold that and keep the parents
well,
in the dark.
Well, the parents are right. The governor has no business interfering
yeah.
with the responsibility of a parent and their child.
Yeah, a parent articulated that quite well. And again, I want to bring it to the point that these are those issues like this that cause good people to be separated. And I think we can all agree that if you gave birth to a child or children, it's not fair for anyone else to come in your house and try to dictate to you how to, you know, raise your children.
Courts do not make laws. Judges do not make laws. They just give opinions of which people do not have to abide by.
Yeah. So, but There you go. Interesting conversation. We appreciate you joining us there, sir. We've been back on Tuesday night from 7 to 8 o'clock, and we're looking forward to moving forward. Brother Murphy, I hope you heard us better tonight. Pastor, you were having a hard time hearing our audio a little bit. I think he said it was your voice that was muffled a little bit that he couldn't quite hear. But I hope it got better for him. And so we'll go from there. We got about a few more minutes here before we wrap up. I have some dinner waiting on me, St. Louis. And the boss lady has told me when I ring the bell, I want you down there. So I can't wait too long, Samuel. I can't fool with you too long. We're grateful. We appreciate you joining us tonight. How's the family, man? How's everything going with you right quickly? Say, Lord. Uh-oh. Are you there? Okay. Looked like we lost him. But anyway, Pastor, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead. We've been talking.
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up for tonight. We've been talking from the topic, the struggle within the U.S. I hope that when you see somebody that is you perceive to be a stranger, you can say to yourself, I'm going to hold out any judgment, and I'm going to look for the best opportunity for us to get along with one another. Shake their hand, smile, say, how you doing? You understand what I'm saying? Be prepared to at least anyway. All right? With that, we're going to ask Pastor Waller to wrap us up for tonight and send us home.
All right. Well, you know, it's a good conversation, and as always, Pastor Doctor, I thank you for what you're doing, and St. Louis,
thank you
for tapping in. Here's the good part about what I just heard your monologue earlier was talking about above the law. If you want everything to be peaceful, then understand what it means to be above the law. That means you got the advantage over people that's doing the best they can with what they have. And until you come down to lift them up, you will continue to believe yourself to be above the law. So be humble and realize the power of togetherness. No matter whether you're rich or poor, you still have a right to recognize how important it is to give. The Word of God says it is more blessed to give than to receive. On that note, I give it back to you, Pastor Doctor.
Thank you, gentlemen. Listening audience, we'll be back next Tuesday for another episode of Talk Straight. McFadden, brother, who was it? What's the name? McFadden. Who was the other guy?
McFadden Whitehead.
And
McFadden
Whitehead. They said a song that says, ain't no stopping us now. We're on the